I'm Cindy Patton. My husband is Randy Patton, the director of the National Association of Nuthetic Ministries. And we're going to get started on the subject of developing a biblical self-image. Well, let me begin by telling you a story of a gal, her testimony. A gal grew up as a young thing in a suburb of Chicago. Regular Midwest family that was intact. There was a mom, a dad, and two other kids. She was one of three. A middle child at that. And basically, it was a normal home. Dad didn't go to church. The father didn't. But the mother made sure that the kids always went to church. And seemingly, it would be a normal family. But what infiltrated the family, and then indeed her life, was the communication that was present in the family. The parents of this home demanded perfection. And all the kids were raised and were very, very well behaved because it was a very authoritative home. Never did she feel like she was good enough. So when she came home with all A's on report cards all through the years, if there would be a B plus or an A minus, she didn't hear, she says. She never heard the words, you did good, or you did a great job in all these areas. What she heard was, what happened in math? You know, where you fell down, what happened there? She was always striving for those words, you did a good job. You're good at this. I'm proud of you. She always worked hard to earn those words, which she never heard. Also present in this home was a manner of conversation some of you may know about. Some of you indeed may have grown up in a home like this. She calls it cuts or slams. Do you know what that is? Let me explain it to you. A cut is a type of communication said with humor but stings. For instance, if you would have come to church tonight and you were looking for a seat, and you were ready to sit down, and indeed it might have been a friend you were sitting next to, and you said to the friend, are you saving the seat? And the friend said to you with a smile and a little chuckle, for anybody but you. And you sat down. And the whole time you're wondering, was there any truth in what she said? You know, she seemed to be joking, but if it came out of her mouth, and if she even thought the words, was there any truth in that? So this gal grew up in a home where humor was used in that sarcastic, biting way. And she says she had all kinds of scars on her heart inflicted by words. Harsh, hard, cutting words. Well, as she matured, the influence of the home had a great influence, of course, on her life and her attitude toward others, toward herself, toward her parents, and indeed started to become a bondage for her. This gal was saved when she was 9 years old, committed her life to the Lord, and sought always to go for God. She loved the Lord and wanted to please the Lord. She went to a Christian college, and by the way, she never tried anything because she was afraid she would fail. She wouldn't hear the, you did good. She had the what the world calls an inferiority complex. You've heard that terminology, haven't you? An inferiority complex. Didn't think she could do anything right, didn't think anybody loved her, etc., etc. Went to a Christian college. It was about her junior year in college when she thought, I need some help with this. It's affecting my social life. I'm bound by it. I'm miserable. I'm seeing the world through these glasses of woe is me, and I need help. So she went to the psychology department in the Christian college. And the professor of psychology told her things which she couldn't even remember what he said. He wasn't much help. She graduated from college, married a guy who was going into the ministry. They worked with another pastor, well-known pastor, and she realized if she was going to be a pastor's wife, she needed help in this area. She was a slave to this she would have called it a disease. And she went to the pastor, who for an hour told her how wonderful she was. "Oh, but you can sing so well," he said. And in her mind, she says, everything he said that was good, it was like the proverbial water off a duck's back. Because she would say in her own mind, "Well, yes, I can sing well. I sing the solos of the cantatas, all the church cantatas. But my sister made an album." "Whoa, you are such a great hospitality leader in your home. You just really..." "Oh, yes, but," in her mind she thought, "I'm not as good as so-and-so." And indeed you will know that people who are wrestling with unbiblical self-images have this response no matter what you tell them. "Yes, you're good at this. Oh, but someone's better than me." And she got no help. Well, she and her husband became pastor of a church. Her husband became pastor of a church. She was the pastor's wife. She'd walk into church on Sunday morning. There'd be some women standing off to the side, and she'd think to herself, "I wonder what they're saying about me." Her vision was always clouded by self. And then her husband attended the biblical counseling training in Lafayette years ago. And a year later, she did. And for those of you who have been through any biblical counseling training, you'll know that in the morning, there are classes of instruction. And in the afternoon, you sit on real-life counseling sessions. And she'd been very intrigued by one counselor who was talking about one of the counselees who had been coming in. His name was Eric. And Eric came in for an inferiority complex. And her ears were all up to find out how they were going to help Eric. Because, you see, if they could help Eric, they could help her. And she wanted to know the solution. So she was all ears. And this day, Doc Smith, who was the teacher that day, said to the class, "Now today we're going to really zone in on Eric's problem." And she was on the edge of her seat. What could it be? What will they say to Eric that could help me, she thought. And the next words floored her. Doc Smith said, "Today, we're going to zero in on his sin of pride." Pride, she thought. "I can't have pride. I don't think I'm any good. I don't think anybody loves me." And, oh my goodness. But instead of feeling sorry for herself, she was livid, angry. And she raised her hand in class to ask the question, and I said, "Pride? How could it be pride? He doesn't love himself." And it was that moment that the Holy Spirit started to do a miracle in this young gal's life. At age 27, having lived a life being bound, being enslaved with glasses that looked only back at me, the Lord started to wrestle with my heart. Praise him for that. And he broke the bondage, broke those chains of self, and did a miracle in my life, which I attest to and claim to this day. What a glory, and it is all him. And because of what he has done in my life, I come to you tonight with a burden to teach this session. Because, ladies, I know there is freedom. There is hope. God does miracles. He did it in my life, and he can do it in yours or those around you who are wrestling with this issue. And believe me, if you know five women, you have a friend wrestling with this issue. And I have done this seminar all around the world, and I also know that women who come to this seminar often come to find hope for themselves, to find the answers I was looking for so eagerly, so aggressively, but nobody could give me. And I will offer you tonight the hope that is each of ours, that comes only through God's word and Jesus Christ himself, who breaks the chains.